You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
So, hey guys, this morning I am going to be talking about From Darkness to Light. So I'm going to be talking From Darkness to Light. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I hope that got your attention. Darkness to glory, darkness to light. So we've been in a series from here to there. We've been walking through the book of Colossians. If it's your first time here this morning, we've been in the book of Colossians. And in this series, from here to there, one truth has continued to rise to the surface, that Jesus Christ is enough. He stands alone. He's enough. Enough to sustain, enough to save, enough to carry, enough to bring us from darkness into light. Colossians chapter 1 reminds us who he is and who we are because of him. This morning I want to walk through 6 different truths from this chapter, not in a rush, but just focused. It's not going to be forced. I just want to carefully, together with you, go through this. Because this is not just theology. This is life. This is life on display. You, me. It's not simply knowledge of God. This is how we live our life. We live our life. Darkness to brilliant light. So today we're starting with one point. We have been delivered. And this morning, you know, I'm going to be touching on a little bit of what Pastor Paul has shared last week, a little bit, just to make some connection points of where we were, because also not everybody was here too. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Paul does not say we are slightly off course. He says we are in a domain, a ruled territory of darkness. Without Jesus, we're in a domain that you don't want to be. And that word delivered, it means rescued. Some of us remember when we felt that rescue clearly. Some of us grew up in church and cannot remember a dramatic moment. Some of us may still be wondering if we have truly experienced it. But the truth remains the same. We are not saved by improvement. We're not saved by trying harder. We are rescued, transferred, moved from one kingdom into another, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that only happens through Jesus Christ, through repentance, through surrender, through receiving him as your Lord, as your King, following Jesus, made new. It's by his blood, not our effort, that we are brought into his kingdom of light. This is good news for every age, every background, every story, no matter what stage of life you're in. This is good news. I don't know about you, but I love good news. Normally around here, when we're talking about weather, it's like we're talking about 2 feet of snow and then it'll be like 2 inches of snow. That's what I've come to learn about New England weather. Now, I know really snow is coming, but it's not always that way. We all know that. So point number 2, which Pastor Paul talked about this awesomely last week, but Christ is preeminent over all. So I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1. Hey, if you don't have your Bible open, open it up. Just open it up to Colossians 1 because that's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to be right now. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It tells us, he is the image of the... what? Sorry, I see a spell check and I was like, that ain't the word, guys. Yeah, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him. And not just through him, for him. And he is before all things. And in him, get this, all these things, hold together through him. In him, things hold together. Now, this is speaking to something. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Before we ever reached for him, he was Lord. Before you even ever were like, oh, I see that. I think God is good. I'm going to reach for him. Before you ever did that, he is Lord. He's already moving. He's already there. Before we understood our need, he was a creator. All things visible and invisible were made through him and for him. And in him, all things hold together. Man, I have to read that again just because, man, sometimes life gets nuts and you're like, wow, I need that all things hold together right now. And he's available. Jesus is here today for you. That includes the things in your life that feel like they're coming apart. Your future is not outside his authority. Your family is not outside his sight. Your confusion is not outside his understanding. He's not competing for first place. He is preeminent. And that word means first in rank, first in authority, first in honor. He does not demand that place harshly. He deserves that place completely. That leads us to point number 3. We have been reconciled and made blameless. For those of us that are in this room that have already said yes to Jesus and turned our eyes towards him and said, I do believe you are good. You are a good God. I'm going to turn my eyes towards you. You have been made blameless. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22 says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Paul reminds us of what we once were. Alienated, separated, hostile in mind. But he does not leave us there. Because Christ has come this morning, just like when he was speaking out of the book of Colossians, to reconcile his church back to him. His beloved, his bride. Reconciled means brought back into relationship. God is holy. Sin separates. And Christ stepped into that separation. The judgment we deserved was placed on him so that one day we could stand before God not ashamed, but blameless. That's not something we achieve. We like to achieve things. Like, I like to do things really well. I like to be the first into something. If the time to be there starts at 10, I want to be there at like 9:45 at the very latest. Like, I just, there's a piece of that where it feels like I have to like keep up this certain, I have to be known for the on-time person. I have to be known as that. Jeremy is on time. Like, there's other things in our life that are like that, though, where we are kind of almost on a hamster wheel of, if we got down to it, if we're not moving as a son or daughter in Jesus Christ, we're kind of on a wheel, like a little mouse would be on running. We're like, oh, if I don't do this, I won't be loved. If I don't do this, they won't notice. And I feel like sometimes moms probably know this the most, because no kid on earth knows what the heck a mom has done for them. Parents in general, but man, such a gift. So it's not something we achieve, it's something we receive. So hear this again. You are not accepted because you perform well. You are accepted because Christ, Jesus Christ, paid it fully. He paid it fully. So number four, we are called to walk worthy. So we're talking about how we just walk as believers. We're called to walk in a certain way. We don't just become followers of Jesus and say, you're good, I'm gonna actually trust you with my life. Now I'm gonna live the same. Thank you. But no one would say that, but a lot of people do it. And I don't know about you today, but like every day I'm surrounded by people that need Christ. They need to know his love. They need to know that he gave his life, poured out his blood for them, that they might be seen blameless. The only thing they need to do next is say yes. When you give your yes to Jesus, it's dangerous. Why do I say it's dangerous? Because things begin to happen. If your life doesn't look very dangerous, now dangerous might not be the right word, but I find it to be very applicable. There's like this bit of like, anything could happen. Anything could happen today. I like to like invite Jesus in to a moment, even when I'm going into the grocery store, because when I go into the grocery store, I'm not trying to actually talk to anybody. And if I see somebody I know, I actually might go to the opposite end of the store so I don't actually start a conversation. Because I just want to, you know, whatever, you came in for a purpose and you might have things. But something I try to remind myself every place I go, no, wherever I am, is just to, okay, these are your sons and your daughters. If you don't know this morning, you're made in his image. You are his image bearer. When you walk out of this church, when you go into the store, when you're just hanging with friends, whatever you're doing, you bear the image of Christ. So we are called to walk worthy. Earlier in the chapter, Paul prays, this is Colossians 1, chapter 10, I believe, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing every good work. Salvation is not the finish line. It's the beginning of a new walk. You walk a little different. You walk a little swag now. You got a little different. You're no longer whatever you were before that. You might have attached, oh, I'm only important when I wear this garment. And when people are like, oh, here come that person wearing that garment. They look so cool. Like, you're not just known for that. When you become a follower of Christ, you carry something. So you may still have a little bit of sweat, I call that pre-salvation swag, but I'm telling you that pre-salvation swag is like next level with Christ. And if you will invite him into the moments of your life, things are gonna start looking crazy because it pushes you outside of your comfort zone. That's why I say that. To me, dangerous, crazy, I'm throwing around these terms. All that translates to is pushing me out of my comfort zone. Because a lot of you guys work jobs or you go here, go there. You're with a lot of people. You carry something. You carry Jesus. Jesus Christ in you. Let's listen to the words of Jesus out of Matthew. So if you've got your Bible, Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet. Wow. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Put on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's all I'm talking about right now. When we're going about our day, when we're going into the store, when we're hanging with people, that's all I'm talking about right now. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and salt preserves. Light illuminates. I know that's like a very simple thing to read, but salt preserves. Light illuminates. Christ in you, the hope of glory, he brings that saltiness, that, because preserved inside of you is a little glimpse of heaven, actually. Christ in you. We're talking about there's power in the name of Jesus. When you receive Christ, that comes automatically, whether you like it or not, whether you're comfortable with it or not. It's just the way it is. You got Jesus, and Jesus has got you. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And people are like, well, what's that mean? What's the power? Well, before you're like, oh, what is love? Oh, I guess it's like this. Love is like this. Love is like this. Oh, that hurt. I don't know, that was love. I thought it was love, but it hurt. Well, sometimes love does hurt. But we read in the Bible that God is love. We cannot truly know love, actual, in our lives until we know God. What I would like to say is knowing God preserves that love, or like baptizes what we know about love inside of us. Now we can love in a more complete way because you're not just loving out of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. You're not just like, I love chocolate. Mm. You're like, whoa, I see that person in a way that I should see them. I don't even know them, and I love them. Why do I love them? I feel this weird empathy right now that I don't know where it came from. Some people are automatically empathetic. You can learn it as a skill. But I would like to put before you that Christ in you can give you that ability of like, oh, I'm noticing something I never noticed before. Like, the air is clear. Something is different. I don't know what it is. We're going to talk about some of these things. And really, that's the Christian walk. As you follow Jesus and you're in his word, the more you renew your mind with the Bible, the more you're like, whoa, it just starts becoming clearer. It's like blinders are slowly coming off. Because sometimes the things of life can just come up and we're like, that really hurt me. And da, da, da. Yeah. Oh. Like There's so many things that we're like, wow, I'm still carrying that. And that happened when I was 7 or 20. Jesus wants to take that away and be like, hey, take this. Let me take that and I'm going to give you something else in exchange for that. So salt preserves, light illuminates, and both are extremely noticeable. You're going to be noticed by people. Be like, what's different about you? So you change. Now, some practical things can sometimes happen when you become a follower of Jesus because you might not do all the same things you used to do. Nobody told you to do it. But you just feel like, I don't feel like this is a good, like, Jesus Christ in my life and this. Just doesn't go together. It's like oil and water. It's like, no, can't even drink the water now because it's all oily. Anyway. But walking worthy does not mean walking perfectly. It means walking intentionally. It means letting your faith shape your relationships. I just prefaced that a bit a moment ago, but it means letting your faith in Jesus shape your relationships. People got trauma. They got all kinds of stuff that's come up in their life, and then they're all like, I like you. You like me? I like you. And they're just like, let's put it together, because nothing could go wrong with that. Outside of Jesus, I would say it's very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard outside of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, if you let your faith shape your relationships, if you let it shape your friendships, that's a walk of intentionality. Walking intentionally. It means letting your faith shape your choices. Letting your faith shape how you respond to pressure. You become, I don't know if you guys have heard us say this before, but you become that which you behold. The thing that you're like, I'm going to look at that a lot. The thing you look at the most is what you start acting like. You become that which you're like constantly in relationship with. That's why here today and many Sundays around, we talk about spending some time with Jesus. Just take some time. Take a moment. Take a quiet moment. When I was young, I was at like some kind of youth event, and they were like, it's time for TOG. And I was like, what in the world is TOG? It's like, time alone with God. I was like, okay, everything's got to be an acronym with you, bro. So yeah, time alone with God. Take some time. Make some space, because I can't even tell you how that will impact your day-to-day if you just take that time. Some people in this room, this might be just like your normal every day. You might have a grid for this, like you're like, yeah, totally got that. Spent 6 hours in prayer before I came here today, and actually I was praying into the service, and I'm holding a word to give you to encourage your spirit right now. Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to do it. Okay. So yeah, you might be just like, you grew up in this, whatever. This is just a good refresher. That time that we spend with the Lord totally comes into play into our family dynamic, into our relationships, our friendships, every dynamic that you could think of relationally. That time alone with God that you set aside, you know, that time that that you guys that may be here today that set a time to go to the gym. If you're going to the gym and you're not spending any time with the Lord, you might want to flip that a little bit, because they all affect one another. And if it's one thing I've learned, is everything affects everything. If I scream in this room, y'all hear it. It's going to affect all y'all. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. This is Paul speaking in Colossians to the church. He's saying, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed in his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Point number five, we share in suffering, but we're not alone. We're not alone. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. And then later in verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul does not pretend that following Christ removes hardship. He speaks of toil, of struggle, of suffering. Now, Paul in this moment is suffering probably right now, but everyone we're in a Western place, but we see moments of suffering. And that is important for every generation to understand, young or old, new believer, seasoned saint. The Christian life includes endurance. Here's the comfort. We are not suffering alone. We don't suffer alone. Even when you all by yourself, you don't suffer alone. Paul says he struggles with Christ's energy working within him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead strengthens us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort in which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we are abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Look at that. The more you know. It is your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure in the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. 2 Corinthians tells us that we share in Christ's sufferings, but we also share in the comfort. So if you're carrying something heavy this morning, you are not forgotten. If you are quietly enduring something difficult, you are not unseen. Christ is present. Jesus Christ is present in this room. He is sustaining. He is near. Number six, freedom and rest are found in Christ alone. I was waiting for my my automation to happen, but it didn't happen, so I'll move on. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, I love this, these verses right here. I, every single day, I think of this verse. Every day. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts it, though. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. This is Jesus. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. You thought you'd be resting. You thought you'd be resting. Jesus said, I'm gonna show you how to rest. I'm gonna actually show you how to rest. You thought you were resting. You were like, got this strength. I'm on like, my feet are up. I'm resting. But while you're resting, you got so many things happening in your life. You got things on your mind. You're like, okay, I need to like, you can't separate those things from your walk, even when you're physically resting. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Not me. Jesus is saying, watch him. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You look fine already. You look awesome. You guys look beautiful today. Keep company with me. I talked about that. That's spending time with Jesus. Keep company with me. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. Another way that's read is, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation today is super simple. Come. Come to me. Not achieve first. Not fix yourself first. Come. Living lightly is not pretending life is easy. It's living in freedom from condemnation. Freedom from trying to earn what has already been given. Psalm 36, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. Psalm 36, read the whole thing. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. Verse 9 out of Psalm 36, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. Once we were in darkness, now we are in his light, and we see clearly. Freedom is found in Christ alone. There is no journey unless it is in Christ. There is no destination unless it is in Christ. Every other road eventually runs out, and every other pursuit eventually fades, and every other promise eventually disappoints. But Christ remains. Now, this might be very simple this morning, saints, but he is the beginning. He is the sustaining power. He is the glorious end. So if you are searching, search for him. If you are building, build on him. If you are walking, walk with him. Because only in Christ does the journey have purpose and the destination have glory. Only in Christ does the journey have purpose and the destination have glory. Beauty. We sung something this morning, I think, about beauty for ashes, diamonds for dust. You can bring anything and everything to Christ. You can bring anything and everything to the cross. But he's gonna make you new. He's gonna transfer you out of that stuff and be like, let me take that. No matter where you are in that journey, he's here for you today. If the ministry team could come up, that would be awesome. Church family, let me speak very clearly. Some of you have followed Jesus for many years. We got some seasoned saints in this place. Some of you are still deciding. Some of you are tired. Some of you are quietly struggling. Whoever you are, hear this. Let no one disqualify you, not your past, not your age, not your failures, not your doubts. Jesus Christ is the great qualifier. There is nothing you are and nothing you are not that can stop the King from bringing you into his kingdom of light.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.